Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks. I'm Masood. With me, as always, is the brilliant Chris Stokes.
Hello.
And the fantastic Suze Kempner. Hey. How y'all doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I have to tell people what the show's about. It's a show where
Mysteries and
cocktails collide. Where we try to solve unsolved mysteries while drinking delicious cocktails.
Because any episode could be somebody's first.
That is absolutely true.
You need to say it each time.
And you say it each time. Need to welcome you guys.
Because
time.
If people are listening on a regular basis, I think we've built up enough goodwill that they won't get annoyed that we're repeating ourselves with it. I think they'll understand that we're bringing it in.
And it's usually fairly quick.
You know, welcome to the gang if you're not
hey,
listening
man.
Before.
Yeah. We should be allowed to repeat ourselves, the government are allowed.
Let's try not to date this
you
episode.
You didn't say anything in the description, Masood, about satire.
I didn't
added that for free. Whoops, drop my pen.
Is that part of the satire?
Oh, yeah.
Dropping
the ball. Oh, who went to drop my pen? Just like the governor. Keep dropping the ball.
We have seriously dated this episode and we haven't even started it yet.
Yeah. I don't think that's the kind of satire that never gets old.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, this episode couldn't have taken place at any point in the last 9 years of Tory rule. Anyway,
I mean, but listen, you say that, but we're at the start of a new Labour government.
Is this you,
Chris,
hoping in the future?
No, I just know that the election is going to happen, and this will go out after it. So
okay, right.
Fingers crossed.
Not to date this podcast, but it happened on the day that Labour went, yeah, we'll back an election. So frankly, anything could have happened.
And then on my train right here today, I had to go a different route.
Yeah,
because my normal train was delayed, so I hopped on the train to East Croydon to get off at Shepherd's Bush and then get the central line in.
Yeah.
And then at Wembley, a man got on the train and sat opposite me, because they're all tables, sat opposite me, he had his phone out, and he waited for a bit while it was ringing. And then obviously the person answered and he went, "Don't say anything to anybody. If Westminster ask, tell them nothing."
What?
Oh, God, I love it so much.
You were sat opposite Malcolm Tucker. Brilliant. That is so cool.
No, his name was John.
John, yeah. No.
But I know that because after he hung up, he then made another call and said, "Hello, is Karen there? It's John."
It's John. Oh. That call sounded much nicer. I'd like to be on the other end of that phone call.
He had two telephone voices.
Yeah.
Angry and polite.
It's the shit's hitting the fan voice and the, "Could you order me some tea?"
And Chris, he seemed like a Tory, right?
Yes.
Are we going to have to record two openings?
Terrified.
One in which the Tories win and one in which the Labour wins, and then whichever one
it's
we'll
fine,
have
it's
to.
Fine. I'll just tweet
no,
out.
No, I don't leave it, because if Labour lose, which they probably will, it'll be even funnier when I say, "Oh, at the start."
Oh yeah, hilarious! I can't wait.
Is this the new section of the show where we talk about the new politics opener?
Yes,
of the show.
It's all I'm going to talk about from now on.
I hope someone walks through the door so that we don't have to keep talking about politics.
Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
thank you.
It looks like, I'm just sorry, there's a lot of dry ice in the bar today. Is that Poppy Elstead?
I think it is.
Hi. Yes. Hey, guys. Hey. Hi.
Welcome. Thanks, I got to get rid of this dry ice. I don't know why I keep this by the door. It's a trip hazard is what it is. It's a trip hazard.
Yeah.
Welcome. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Let's mix you up a drink first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cool.
There we go.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that one's yours.
Oh, yeah, it is.
This is the last word, or some people call it the real last word, but any variation of it is the same.
Do you know what, want to know what my last word is?
What's your last word?
Labour, and my second to the last word is vote.
Nice. Good last words. Is that when you do you have a cigarette in your mouth and a blindfold over your eyes? And you're
standing by a... this is going out after the election, but it never changes, does it? Just sort of next time it rolls around.
Yeah, play this. Vote Labour. Nice.
Yeah, so this is called the last word.
It's called the last word.
What's in it?
What's in the last word? Oh,
oh my God!
So.
What's in it? Alcohol.
Alcohol. So it's I would call it.
Oh my word!
Yeah,
it's
my last word.
One of everything. So it's 1 ounce of gin, 1 ounce of green chartreuse, 1 ounce of maraschino liqueur, and 1 ounce of fresh lime juice.
It's amazing.
Wow. This is so delicious.
They all complement each other very well.
It tastes like a sour, like a soury kind of sweet, which is I quite like about it.
Yeah, if you're sweets. To kill your kids.
Yeah. Yes.
In a good way, though.
In a good way. It has a little bit of history as well.
Okay.
It's a little fun little history.
What's the history?
So it started in a prohibition. It's a prohibition era cocktail, as most of these are.
Yeah. Oh, what? So they're like, oh no, sir, this ain't got no alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just fruit. And then what? The cops are gonna be drinking it, going, oh yeah, I believe you, mate. Thousands of them.
And it's like, and they drink it in like teacups and that. They'd be like, yes, we're just having a fruit juice at down at the old pet shop. Yes.
Oh, hey, Mr. Officer, come on down. I'll give you some fruit juice in a cup.
To be fair though, a lot of cocktails, even though they are all alcohol, they're mixed together in such a way that it doesn't actually taste as alcoholic as it probably
like,
is.
This is.
Well, this one fucking does.
Okay,
this is one the fans will be like, oh yeah, I'll mix one of those. That sounds pretty harmless. And then this will kick you in the teeth.
Oh, bless.
Poppy, do you like mysteries?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Good. I like mysteries, yeah.
What's your favourite?
Yeah, what mystery ever? Oh yeah, I like D.B. Cooper, you know. Yeah.
We're yet to cover that one.
Yeah.
D.B. Cooper is my official, one of my official faves.
Yeah. Bit sexy as well, don't you think? It's got sexy
what,
look.
That
little photo. Yeah.
Not just because he was mysterious.
That little drawing.
Also, if he survived, loaded.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The way you said that, it's almost as if you grab someone in the back of a pub, like just by their bicep, and be like, that little drawing in it. Like, well, what? Excuse me? Do I know you? Yeah, that little drawing.
Did you have a poster of D.B. Cooper on your wall when you were a kid?
I love that drawing.
Blow it up to A1.
We can't blow it up any bigger because it actually starts to lose resolution, so it's got to be a little drawing.
And it was a high definition picture of me, wasn't it?
Right, Chris, what have you got for us?
Speaking of mysteries.
Bread dripping in oil.
Yeah, go on.
Beautiful.
Get that down your neck.
I'll have to wait now.
Do the mystery.
So the mystery today is the Pisan Hall murder.
The Pisan Hall.
Have you heard Pisan of Pisan Hall?
The Pisan Hall. Well, it's Pisan Hall, which is a vintage.
In both of your accents, it sounds like peas, the food, and Hull, the place.
Pisan Hall.
The Pisan Hall mystery. Oh yeah.
Is it like that?
Pisan Hall
with an E instead of the O.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Pisan. Almost like you're spelling peasant, but instead of selling peasant, you put Hall.
Instead of a T, you put Hall.
Pisan Hall is a village in Suffolk.
Okay.
And more strictly speaking, it's the murder of Rose Harsant, to give her name. But for some reason, she ends up being quite anonymous when it comes to actually... It's known as the Pisan Hall murder.
Okay. Because she's a woman, so who cares?
That's a prevalent theme throughout this mystery series.
Well, you read this
and
one.
And indeed, history.
Not Labour.
I'm getting sweaty. Is that normal for
it's a very warm. It's a very warm bar. That's why you had the dry ice on.
Yeah.
But with stress of what you're about to say.
It's quite stressful.
Right. I'm scared. Yeah.
Okay. So
Chris stresses people out. It's fine.
That's just. Yeah. That's my presence. I think.
Great
labour. On May the 31st, 1902, Rose Harsant received an anonymous letter arranging to come and meet her at midnight. Because this is okay. this is so cool. Yeah. Okay. This is like something out of a novel. It was it happened in a village, kind of like a rural little village. Happened at midnight at the witching hour in a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So evocative.
Cool. This is it.
Cinematic.
Yeah. So
she a hat stand. And
so she received this an in joke.
I just hope that these are released in order so that joke makes sense.
I say it's a joke. I just mentioned hat stands and everyone went mental.
Anyway. It's because it was Susie's main takeaway from the oeuvre of Alfred Hitchcock.
I mentioned hat stands and then Mark Simmons went, "Oh, you don't see hat stands anymore." And I went, "Well, you don't watch enough Hitchcock." And everyone went nuts.
Like, we did
just
go nuts.
Like I just said, vote Tory, which I never would.
Vote Labour. And so you were...
And so she received this anonymous letter arranged to come meet her at midnight. Uh-huh. She was the maid in the house of Deacon William Crisp. It's called Providence House. The house still stands. You can go there.
So where's Peason Hall come into it?
That's the name
Peason
of the
Hall is
village.
The name of the village.
Oh, right. Sorry.
In Suffolk. Do you think it was the name of the house?
I thought it was the name of the house.
Welcome to Peason Hall.
It does feel like the name of a house, doesn't it?
Does that feel like the name of a house? No, the house
that's what the butler says.
Providence House.
Right.
And so, the following morning, her father...
They're used to me, Poppy's not. Everyone just ignores me.
I like that. But...
Come on in. Like that.
Come on. You're not...
Welcome.
Oh, yeah. Welcome.
It's no jokes, just noises. Carry on. Vote Labour. Carry on. I've written down vote Labour.
So the following morning, her father, William Harson...
So she gets a note, and then the next morning...
Yeah. Am I allowed to finish this?
Yeah, no, I'm just...
No.
Go for it.
I'm listening. But I like the butler noise as well. So can you do back for the same time?
Can you do the door opening?
It's the same.
As him, noise. he covers the noise. Right. The door opening is very loud.
Sorry, Chris, continue.
Can you do a kettle boiling?
I don't know if really I want to stay in this house.
Well, tough shit. You're here now.
So the following morning, her father, William, there's a lot of Williams in this story. Keep track of the Williams.
Okay.
Right. William Harsett came to pay his daughter a visit at Providence House, and he entered the house through the back door, and he found Rose laying at the foot of the stairs. The murderer had cut Rose's throat. She had deep gashes on her shoulders. She was only wearing socks and a nightdress, and they had been charred along with her forearms.
Fucking what?
What the hell?
So William,
and there was
her
a little
dad.
Bottle that had smashed as well.
Oh,
burnt and stabbed. What was the bottle?
The bottle was meant to contain medicine that was a prescription for somebody else. However, when they smelt it, it had paraffin in it, and
a flammable liquid.
Basically, very quickly, the police realised that this was meant to look like she'd fallen down the stairs, broken her oil lamp, that had cut her, and had set fire to herself. But the fire was found to have been started by a newspaper, which none of the people in the house read. And
she could have just been going for a nighttime, you know, read the paper, have a pop in the toilet, put the oil lamp up, sit yourself down.
This comes
because... I know what's in that bottle is. Or are you about to reveal that?
Well,
bottle?
Yeah. This comes into play later on with the newspaper. Mm. But the bottle had paraffin in it, and that was meant to have sort of like they used that to start the fire, and then make it look like she's fallen on the oil.
They just did it wrong. They've done it so badly.
Here's another question for you: why would they make it look like an accident and then slash her throat?
Yeah.
Sorry, I panicked.
Yeah, I just didn't think it looked real enough that she was dead. They might think she's asleep, so we'll just slit her throat.
And so,
do you reckon the butler did it?
There was no butler.
Then who was making this noise? Who was it? Answer me. That's right
when they found the body, he's just in the back going,
they could just hear him behind the door going, vote Labour.
You got any questions?
Well,
none.
Okay, so...
None, everything's been answered.
So she's found the stairs.
She found at the foot of the stairs.
Found the foot of the stairs, right. Has she got any neck injuries? Like, has her neck
throat
broken?
Slashed.
Apart from the throat slashed.
And stabbed in the shoulders.
She was stabbed in the chest.
In the chest.
Ooh, right. As well,
yeah. Chest and burned chest.
Well, the front of her nightdress was charred.
Was charred.
They had big plans, didn't they? And they just went, oh, no, none of this is going to work.
No blunt force trauma, no neck injuries.
No. There was some facial bruising.
Facial bruising.
Yeah.
So she potentially fell or got hit.
And also, there were apparently defensive wounds in that she was she fought off a knife attack.
Oh, man.
They were they were synonymous with
it. But she had a letter that said, meet me at midnight.
Yes.
Did they find the did they find that was on her?
They found the letter after they searched the room, right?
Whoa, so it wasn't on her, right?
No. And the letter said, I will try and see you at midnight tonight at your place. Shine a light in your room at 10 for 10 minutes and then remove it or like turn it out and then I'll know to come.
Imagine if he's there watching the light and he's like, oh, it's only 9:30. Fuck it, I'm not going.
I'm not going, yeah. It's like, oh, it's so much easier now we've got fucking WhatsApp in it.
Yeah.
Instead of just like,
but there's something else as
you
well,
up?
Which is.
Yeah. Who dis?
Rose.
Yeah, what's who dis in lamp? I don't know.
What do you mean? Anyway, like, who dis in lamp?
Yeah, like in oil lamp. How do you.
Who dis?
Oh, like Morse code.
Yeah.
With a light.
I don't know. Because I'm guessing that you leave it on and you go, right, she's there. Leave it on, for 10 minutes and then.
That's what, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's really
do you reckon as well when she's sending that message by the oil lab, she's like, I know he's seen it.
Yeah, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two blue ticks. I know that he's seen it.
So she got a letter, meet me at midnight.
Yeah.
She comes downstairs.
Presumably
falls over.
To. But the letter also said that the person was going to come in through the back door.
Hey, hello.
Well, here's the thing about Rose is that she was very, despite being a woman of 1902 and a servant, she seemed quite comfortable with her sexuality.
She was bang up for
and
it. She was well into it.
She would
she's a bang machine.
She would collect X-rated poems.
Did she?
Yes.
Ooh, so I love it.
Yeah.
She collected X-rated poems.
Oh yes.
Which they found along with the letter. When
oh really?
Her room.
What kind? What like?
None
can
of
you
them
tell me an ankle and I'll show you a wrist.
I'd like
see
to be
later,
one of your own. Please come and onto my bone zone. This is terrible. These are awful.
But there was a guy who she asked to write her these poems.
Right.
Oh what? So she collected ones. There were self. Like she commissioned a fella.
Do me a poem about about your feet.
That fucking come on, do us a poem.
I'm gone.
Oh, go on, yeah. I want it's about your ankles, that weird bone that sticks out. Yeah, do a bit about that. Do one about your calves.
Fat cocktail all over my fucking piano. What a waste of cocktail. And what do you think of poems, said Poppy?
God, I don't even know. Just meet me here, do me. That's not even a poem.
If you were that's really that's very 2019 into 1902. Just be like, meet me here, do me.
Do me.
If you follow Poppy on Twitter, occasionally you'll get a drawing. What are they called? What's the series called?
Oh yeah, it's called hashtag the worst dicks I can think of.
And so if you've not seen them, they are brilliant.
They're horrible. Yeah.
One of my favourites was. It looks actually really lovely, but it turns out to be a hologram. And then underneath is just this horrible, pointy little stabby thing.
Oh, Poppy's pure film.
I know. I'm crying.
Come meet me here and do me.
Meet me with your hologram.
It's not even a poem, is it? It's just instructions.
It doesn't have to rhyme. There's a poem that just says, well, it does rhyme, but there is a poem that just says, parsley is ghastly.
So, the guy that was writing the poems
like
at her request, he was called Davis.
Davis.
he was a young guy. He was called Frederick James Davis.
No.
And he was a neighbour, a young neighbour, and he provided her with the pornographic poems.
Hmm.
And he also had this. He wanted to have a relationship with her, but she wasn't interested.
She just wanted the poems.
Oh, God.
Listen, the guy could write, okay?
Read it out.
There are no, I couldn't find any of the poems.
Oh, this
so
sucks.
Sorry. I know.
Got it. Fuck Machine Davis.
Young Davis. Young Fuck Machine Davis.
Yeah. Oh. The F in his name stood for fuck. F Scott Fitzgerald. What's the F stand for, baby?
Fuck. Fucking Scott Fitzgerald, baby. History as told by Suze Kempner. I will pay good money for that podcast.
Yeah, well, come around my house. It's mostly what I'm doing. Just making history and telling you about it.
And it has to be in that voice. Oh my, here we go.
Save it for Twitter.
So we've got Dirty Davis. He's dishing out the poems, the dirty poems.
He's
which
the one
she...
that wrote the poems. And apparently she did ask him for them.
Yeah.
But that's... We've only got his word for that.
I see.
Oh, right, okay.
But she did keep them. They did find them in the room along with the
letter. He was like, yeah, she asked me for them, but she wouldn't go out with me. She was like, please stop writing
the letter.
This guy keeps writing these absolutely disgusting
The letter was not in his handwriting.
Right.
That said, meet me at midnight.
It wasn't Dirty Davis.
It wasn't. He was dismissed from the trial actually as a witness
because he was so disgusting.
Yes, exactly.
Oh really?
Oh man,
really?
Yeah. What did he do? Did he go in there? What with his?
No, wait a minute. I've got the direct quote here. The defense, because there was a guy that got arrested. We'll get there in a minute. His defense lawyer, even though he was trying to point the finger at Davis. He had to concede he had nothing to do with her death. And after a while, the judge delivered a lecture on Davis's abominable conduct. And was then he was then dismissed as a witness and a suspect.
Just because you're not a murderer doesn't mean you're not a disgusting little ape. Yeah.
Exactly. You cannot turn up to court without any trousers, sir. Just standing there, just bottom half naked, but still wearing a top. Yeah. Which is the worst combination.
Yeah.
It's the worst combo.
Tops, no bottoms.
Oh,
it's me, Davis. I loved her. I loved her and she couldn't love me back. That's because you're covered in your own piss.
Which is why I took off my trousers.
I used to write my poems in my own piss.
I'm just imagining quite a dirty little hovel of a man.
Yeah.
Who's just kind of scribbling away and
scuttling about.
Yeah. Writing his dirty poems. Yeah. But he's dismissed for being quite a filthy young man.
Yeah, and his only connection to the whole case is that he wrote these poems.
Dirty poems.
Dirty.
Yeah. Let's not rule him out though. I mean, like
I'm never going to rule him out. Not as a lover.
He had an unrelated.
I've got his number if you want.
Is he still going?
If he was, this happened in 1902.
I'm not picky.
So Dirty Davis is out.
Well, he got dismissed as a witness as well as a suspect in court.
Because he's just gross.
Because apparently he was an awful.
That's amazing.
That's so funny.
Imagine being that gross. Yeah. You're dismissed from a court case.
Because he stinks or he's just a pervert.
I bet he stunk.
Pervert. Well, he might have stunk as well.
He's a stinky pervert.
Could you draw his dick for us now?
Yeah. Do you want me to? Yeah.
And then we'll take a picture of it.
And we'll definitely put that on the...
That's good. Poppy's had half a cocktail and she's quite drunk
and
already.
And I'm quite drunk.
And she's
like,
jumped at the chance to draw a dick.
I'm like hiding it.
Don't go thinking it's going to be one of those toilet wall dicks. This is art.
Oh, okay, right.
So no, exciting.
I realise that we've asked a guest to draw a picture on a podcast.
Of a dick.
Stupid idea.
Which we will put on the Instagram, don't worry.
We'll tweet it out.
But like I say, they did arrest somebody. That's why there was a trial.
Right.
And the guy they arrested was a man named William Gardner.
Okay.
Another William. Keep track of the Williams.
So this is a different William found her.
Third William.
Right.
So the William that found her was her dad.
Was her dad.
She worked for a William.
She worked for a William.
And then William Gardner was somebody who lived 200 yards away. He was sort of like fairly senior in the church that she went to. She was in the choir of. And two men in 1901 said that they saw her go into an empty cottage, saw William Gardner go in after her, and then they went and they listened at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they were disgusting animals.
And then they heard her. They heard her say, "Oh," and giggle.
Oh,
yeah,
because he was funny.
And then, they heard her say, "I just read a passage in the Bible about what we've been doing."
Oh,
praying.
Yeah, that's what I was praying.
Okay. But they meant that she'd read about onanism.
Up her arse.
Maybe.
Appointed.
yep.
Is that what it's called?
Onanism, isn't
that? Masturbation.
That's jerking it
she
off.
She could have jerked him off.
Anyway, point is, they were saying, oh, lovely.
Yeah. Could you? Don't mention the Bible. Just get to it.
These men were like, let's listen at the door. Oh, she just said, oh, and laughed.
What then happened was they told everybody in the village that they were fucking. That ruined...
they're like, no, she was just jerking me off, man. It's totally different.
They both denied everything. She maintained a friendship with him and his wife afterwards.
Oh, there
but,
was
like,
lots
he was kind of slightly discredited. Mm-hmm. Her reputation was in tatters, and everybody, the whole town of Peas and Hall thought that they were having an affair.
Peas and eggs.
But get this.
Yes.
The reason he got arrested was because that bottle of paraffin used to be a medicine bottle, and the prescription was for Mrs. Gardner.
Oh, shit.
The newspaper that was used to start the fire was not read by anybody in the house, but the gardeners subscribed to it.
Oh, my God.
Do you reckon it's because...
I think it's a frame-up.
I think.
The Harsons,
could be a frame job.
The Harsons, and so he was, in Provident House, or whatever it's called, they're like, oh, we don't read newspapers, like, politics.
Oh, she didn't live with her family. She lived with the Crisps.
Oh yeah, of course. She lived with the
now.
This is
she lived with the. That sounds like she was in like a barn where they kept the potatoes.
I've just seen.
She
Bobby,
lives with the crisps.
I've just seen Bobby's drawing of a dick.
I just put. This is my quick little.
Oh, it's horrible.
That's Davis's.
This is Davis's dick, is it?
It's like a right angle fin dick.
Are they stink stinks. Lines or pubes?
They're like a smell.
That is. Wow.
I've done
a huge ball
and yeah, massive.
That's
massive
built
balls.
Up because of her not winning them.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So all of this evidence just pointed at William Gardner. Too much, you might say. And then circumstantial evidence was the same. Mm. And they were saying things like... So the town were gossiping. Get this, right? One of them said, I saw footprints leading away from the house. Because bearing in mind there was a massive storm, right? Yeah. So everything got muddy. I saw some footprints leading away from the house. And then he drew a picture of the footprints and they matched Gardner's boots. But it was a fucking drawing.
Wait, what the fuck? That's ridiculous.
That's what a footprint looks like.
It could have just put his... You know when you were a kid and your parents are like, got to measure you for shoes. You put your foot on a bit of paper, they draw around your foot. It's like, he could have just done that and be like, there you go.
And other people were saying, oh, well, I saw him outside his house at 10 o'clock, which is when the light was supposed to have been...
Yes.
Shining.
God. Right. Everyone hates him.
Yeah.
And, because of this, like, gossip of the affair, I suppose.
Because he got wanked off.
he got wanked off in a little house.
Allegedly, Poppy. We can't catch dispersions like this.
Because two men who were probably having it off with each other went and listened at a door of a house.
Oh, yeah. I think Susan solved it. They got caught having sex.
Yeah, and they're like...
They did!
They got caught having sex.
Did they actually?
No. Oh. But
that's a nice theory.
They got caught having sex and they decided to turn it round.
Oh,
and
no,
the
actually, I'll tell you who it was. A man and a woman. A woman, you say? Yeah, and there was a man involved. Yeah, but a dirty woman.
What about you two? We were just two guys just having fun, just chilling, just being men. Just being men, being strong. Being strong men together. We're just hanging out.
So the people that caught them, they were like, oh no, they're having the affair.
Yeah.
And everybody believed that, and then they just snowballed.
As a gossip expert, Poppy, do you...
expert.
This is what is quite interesting with this town, is like everyone's kind of jumping on things and it's becoming like the tale becomes bigger than the truth.
Mm.
Do you... I don't know, like what's your kind of stance? How do you feel about
that? I just have to think back... Right,
because you know, you get stuff like this on your, you know, where people just like make random shit and like, how do you separate the bullshit from the kind of like, there must be, there's a kernel somewhere in there, you know, that's kind of.
Kernel
right,
Sanders.
Okay. Oh, what you mean like, you know, what I think is really going on.
Yeah.
With this one.
Yeah.
Mm. I can't believe I've had, look how much I got left.
I know.
Already. Like,
drink
just,
up.
Just like,
drip down it. Down it.
Don't.
What do I think happens
don't,
in this
don't do
one?
That.
Yeah.
I think, let me have a look. Okay, she fell down the stairs, got burnt.
Just so far, not stabbed. Your theories.
It was made to look like, and badly, I might add. It was made to look badly like she'd fallen.
It's rubbish, isn't it? It's someone really thick. Someone fixed,
didn't
it? So
it's a real thing.
But then what you've got here is you've also got a lot of like, it's like, you know, they do feel planted. The newspaper,
the bottle,
the bottle with the name on it and stuff.
Yeah.
That's not something you would leave behind if you had done it. Thinking, and it could be traced back to you. The footprints, I think, should be discarded entirely.
It
was a bloke that drew them from memory.
Yeah.
Oh, they match.
I think trust him, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the gardener has what is known as an alibi. Not only was his wife saying...
This is the priest, yeah?
No, Gardner was the... He wasn't a priest. He was just in the church.
Oh.
His wife said, well, I couldn't sleep because of the storm. And he was in bed the entire evening. There was neighbours that couldn't sleep because of the storm. And they said nobody left the house. We didn't hear anyone leave or anything.
What a bunch of wet people in Peaton Hall.
Oh, it's too wet. It's too stormy. I can't sleep. Please cuddle me up.
They couldn't drown it out with Netflix, Masu.
Oh, yeah, because I do.
Oh, the saddest.
When I hear the thunder, yes, I do run under my bed like a scared puppy.
My gran used to be like terrified of thunder.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of the Blitz.
I don't know. Maybe.
The Germans are coming again.
No, well, she knew that. She knew that.
My grandpa did when he went all mad at the end. He was a Jewish prisoner of war, so maybe we shouldn't laugh at that.
But yeah, I was going to say
he went doolally.
Can you draw his dick?
Oh, I bet it was massive, Grandpa.
Just the same as that.
Just like that. It's just the same as David.
Might be the worst thing I've ever said.
Can you draw Susan's grandpa's dick for us, please?
Did you draw my grandpa's dick? He went mad at the end and he was Jewish prisoner of war.
So, where were we? We were at...
The fact that he's got an alibi.
He has an
alibi. His wife was his wife vouched for him. And she knew about these allegations of the affair. Obviously, she lived in the town.
Yes. She reckon she liked it.
She just said she didn't believe them.
Don't believe them. Yeah.
Oh, that's
like
a
honey,
classic,
like honey in EastEnders.
She doesn't believe it, does she?
Maybe he's changed. It's quite a good impression of her.
He has not changed, honey.
He hasn't changed.
Let me tell you something, honey. He ain't changed.
He isn't fucking changed. He would still have that affair with Habiba if Habiba hadn't ended it.
And are we using this as a allegory to these guys, or...?
Sorry, when I'm sad, I think about EastEnders.
I don't... Also, Sue's probably takes every single mystery we do and goes,
if it was in EastEnders,
what would happen?
To be fair, actually, I think that is a really good way of mapping it out, because it is pretty similar. Like, no, genuinely, there's a lot of crossover with those two.
Yeah,
so.
There's always a mystery in EastEnders.
This is straight out of a soap opera.
Yeah, this is good. I like this a lot.
Because there was something else as well.
Jesus, there's so much. This is so juicy, this one.
Tell us what it is.
I kind of wish I was in this town. I love a good, like, fucking town mystery.
They discovered, when she was dead,
that
she was 6 months pregnant.
Ooh. Oh, no!
She wasn't just jacking the no.
Ba 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 da ba ba do 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 do. The music from Mario. Do 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 do.
I would love that if that's how EastEnders ended.
With
here we go. Yeah, yeah. It's your baby, Phil. Do 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 do.
Hello, it's Masood from the Mystery on the Rocks podcast. We have some exciting news. Our first set of live shows are happening on the 9th and 16th of February, 3 to 4 p.m. at the Bill Murray. That's a Sunday. Tickets are £5 each. Very exciting. Very, very cheap. Maybe makes a good Christmas present. No. February 2020 at the Bill Murray. We'll see you there.
Are we back?
Yes.
We're back.
I'm just keeping up with politics.
We're back. Back with our second drink now. This is a sidecar.
Mm. Oh.
Yes.
One I've heard of.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
And a reason that I've...
So why is it called a sidecar? Do you drink it as a chaser?
Well, because it's kind of the leftovers. The idea was like, it's just whatever you've kind of got left and you just chuck that.
Is it piss in that?
Yes, that's why I went to the toilet. I pissed in the glasses.
Pissed in a glass.
And then I put it in all
put
of the...
Put sugar around the rim so you're like, hey, so you're like, hey, grab
it. To make it nice.
Prohibition, so you weren't allowed to serve up piss in prohibition. So like, hey, I put sugar around the glass. You think I'd do that if it was a glass of piss? And the cops are like, oh, you got away with it this time, Masood.
You're quite dehydrated, Jesus.
I'm quite glad that my name survived in the 20s.
Hey, Masood.
Oh, we've had a few mysteries. And there've been weird names in the 20s. Isidore.
Oh yeah. Isidore.
Isidore Fink. Ever Fink.
So, the kind of history of this is like there's a couple of cocktail books that say that they kind of claim it, but the kind of this recipe is from the Savoy cocktail book. Ooh. Which is two things of brandy, 2 ounces of brandy, one of Cointreau, and then one of, oh well, 3/4 of lemon juice.
It's
and
so then, lovely.
It's really nice.
It tastes like Christmas.
It's why I quite like the classics, because they're really good. They're just good drinks.
Ding dong, merrily on high.
It's like, you know, it's when you know, if people listen to this and they know mysteries, and yeah. they might be wondering, why haven't we done D.B. Cooper? Why haven't we done Dietlof Pass?
Yeah.
And there'll be some people that are cocktail.
We're like, why
haven't they done a Manhattan? Why haven't they done
that?
So like, it's kind of...
We're getting there.
Patience, my friend. Please. Yeah.
So, Chris, we were left with the... With the
another cliffhanger, yeah.
The shit literally hit the fan because she was what?
Bitch was pregnant
6 months?
As hell.
6 months pregnant.
I believe that was what the police said. They said they
oh,
the,
hell
in,
no.
the, in the autopsy room. They're like, bitch, she pregnant as hell.
It's better if Masu says it. Oh no! Hey, come over here, officer shithead. This bitch pregnant as hell.
She pregnant as hell.
Stop.
Let's get cancelled. Anyway.
Oh, hell no, we cancelled.
So last time we left, she pregnant as hell.
She was very pregnant.
Yes. Mm.
Pregnant as hell.
She was very pregnant. So 6 months. 6 months. That's nothing to sneeze at, mate.
She's 22
Chris,
years old.
Send
she's
me the
worked.
Picture.
I did.
I got it.
She's 20.
Sorry, Poppy.
She's 22 years old.
Look away, Poppy.
She's 22 years old, 6 months pregnant, working in servitude, and allegedly having an affair.
I thought you were about to say, and she's a woman, so it's things aren't looking good.
But also, in the night, she was clearly having sex with somebody. The baby didn't come from nowhere.
Right. Someone hasn't heard of Mother Mary.
So, that's such a weird argument.
What a slut-shamey boy. Slut-shamey Stokes.
Listen, no, I think it's great. She was collecting pornographic poems.
I think it's like really good. No, like, I'm really like, women just like, I just wish they were more free. Yeah, Chris, you're one of the good guys. We get it.
Yikes. No more brandy for you.
Actually, more brandy for me.
Actually, yeah.
Pass me some brandy.
Do you know what? I mean, Susie's jokes are very funny, but I don't think she realises that not everybody, like, is in the room.
What privilege! Hand me some brandy, Masood.
So, she's pregnant as hell, which gives them...
Motive
to pin on William Gardner. Mm. And obviously he was arrested and it went to trial. Now, what's really interesting is that William Gardner is one of the few people in history, or British history, to be tried for murder and have no verdict.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, right.
No verdict.
No. Well, they just
that
didn't know.
That is the fucking
So at stoppest. The time, so he was, mm. he was tri- it, this happened in 1902. He was tried in 1902 in the first trial. There was a jury of 12, obviously. Mm. 11 of them were in favour of conviction. Right. One of them wasn't. And at the time, you had to have a unanimous verdict.
Okay.
So then a retrial happened. And in that trial, which was 1903,
God.
11 jurors were in favour of acquittal.
Oh, my God.
And one of them was in favour of conviction. And so they decided that a third trial would be absolutely pointless.
Yeah.
And he was freed... but not exonerated.
Okay.
So by not being found, he wasn't found guilty, but he wasn't found innocent either.
And so it's like that's, Guildford
Four. He's one of the few people that that's happened to.
Guildford Four. Pete Postlethwaite. Giuseppe Conlon. He died in prison, but he was never exonerated for the Guildford Four.
For narrative purposes, I was really pleased when I laid out all of the thing that happened with the mystery and you all thought he was set up. Because history has been so much... like people think it's Occam's Razor and they're like,
gotcha.
Yeah, he did it.
Right.
Was bad at it. Some people think that his wife did it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Out of jealousy. And some there's some debate about that because if she'd have done it and then all fingers pointed to her husband, she'd have probably been... because he was the sole breadwinner and this was a man's world, 1902. Mm. She'd have been found homeless with a load of kids. If he'd have gone to prison,
right?
Right.
So
yeah, but she was white. She would have bounced back.
She was white as hell.
This bitch white as hell.
And so there's some kind of like debate about whether or not what she had to gain from it. But then was she thinking straight? Did she just want her out of the picture?
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what? Can I just say, this courthouse is shit.
Yeah. Do you want to know who was prosecuting?
Well, yeah, who was it? Yeah.
Oh, no.
A man named Henry Dickens, who was the son of Charles Dickens.
No!
Fuck off!
What the hell?
And an Oliver Twist!
And he... Oh!
I think this is my favourite episode.
I'm on my fourth drink, and I'm starting out with that. Absolute winner.
The pun game is strong, isn't it?
Very strong.
But yeah,
what a lot of pun.
Oh, damn.
I have
a whole lot of pun.
She's funny as hell.
No pun.
You've got nothing. What? You've got nothing. We had great expectations. You needed to...
Oh, I don't know.
Chris.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
You're a Nicholas Dickhead-a-bury.
A Christmas... Fuck! I fucking hate puns so much.
No,
a Christmas fuck.
A Christmas...
You're a Christmas fuck.
That sounds like a Jim Davidson adult pantomime.
Yeah. a Christmas fuck. You can get a car for £1,000.
Henry Dickens was prosecuting both trials. He was prosecuting in both of the
and
trials.
And in his courthouse, they chuck someone out because they're a perv and they stink. And then they just go, dunno, the last person.
Yeah, but it's the jurors that do that. Like, it's the judge that threw the guy out. But the jurors are the ones that return a verdict.
They're all shit.
Yeah,
this is one of those courts where if I was like sat in the kind of like watching it, I'd be like, yeah. This is a shit court, mate. This is awful.
Yeah. Okay, so
what the fuck's going on here? And then they'd be like, get out, sir. I'd be like, no, I will get out. But firstly, this is shit.
So here's the thing. Some people were saying because William Gardner was being tried, and they were like, oh, well, he lives 200 yards away from the house.
Yeah.
But somebody also pointed out that from the way the geography of the village lay, that he, from his house, wouldn't have been able to see the light in the window.
Oh, right.
Maybe he went and stood in the road.
Yeah, and then somebody said, oh, well, I saw him at 10 o'clock in the street talking about the storm.
Yeah, but this gossipy town, they'd be like, oh, I saw him. Did you really? One.
But this is why I think...
Well, this is it. It's like they said they saw him, but they also said, oh, I've got the footprints, and they drew footprints.
Yeah, they drew footprints.
I saw footprints. So look, it's really, with the pen.
This is why I think it counts as a really good mystery, and probably why it endures, because obviously gossip plays a part in the whole... thing, the way the story has been told. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like the town were out to get the man.
Yeah.
But it also does seem, when you actually examine everything, that they were actually having an affair.
Yeah.
And
he was just shit at doing
it. Shit at covering up for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so maybe him and his wife were in on it together. Because maybe she was like, oh, I forgive you and everything, but Jesus.
And then she was like, hurts me.
And then they found out that she was pregnant, and she was like, well, we can't have this. You need to. And they both were in on it together.
Yeah.
And then the wife was like, you left the bottle there with my fucking name on it.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
Yeah. You're like, well, no, it's all right. We'll just blame Dirty Davis. Everyone thinks he's a fucking idiot.
But there's something to be said about husband and wife working on it together, because that's a really great alibi. Because then they can be like...
Well, they've got each other's backs.
He was in bed all night, and I was awake because of the storm.
Fred and Rose West should have thought of that.
Mm. Yeah, because they didn't. They went, oh, we did it. You're like, lads, no, just fucking downplay it.
He was with me. Don't you worry. Hello, it's me, Rose West.
He was with me. What were you doing? I was murdering people.
That's
you fucking
your impression of somebody else as well.
Yeah, it is.
Hey! Does that happen every episode?
Yeah.
Her record is 4 times.
Who do we think fucking did this?
Because
we still have a murdered woman with the stab marks in her chest, and then the singed nightdress with a newspaper that was singed,
to look like an accident. And so here's my query about that. If it was made to look like an accident, why then also was this stuff planted to make it look like he murdered her?
Yeah.
Either he... murdered her and tried to make it look like an accident, or somebody tried to frame him, but then why would they make it look like an accident? So it's kind of like,
it seems like people who have an idea of what an accident is are pretty stupid because accidents aren't, I fell over, slightly singed my nightdress, and then got 12 stab wounds in my chest.
Yeah, and got my neck slashed.
But.
My neck cut open from ear to ear.
Yeah. But what if somebody murdered her?
Yeah.
And framed him?
Mm. Yeah.
And
oh, God.
Somehow he realized this had happened and then tried to make it look like an accident.
Okay.
So it's he gets so he so so wait wait so so the murder happens and he goes and he finds out, so he comes to, cuz he's supposed to meet her at 10. He comes to the house, he comes through the back door.
He's supposed to meet her at midnight.
At midnight.
He asks her to put the light on at 10.
He sees her and he goes, "Shit. I got to make this look like it wasn't me." So then he just puts the bottle and he puts the newspaper there.
Because what if he turns up and like he's like, everybody already knows or thinks or
that we're
either way they're gossiping
that we're in the bone zone, right?
I reckon
bone zone.
I reckon he went round there. He's like, we're gonna bone upstairs.
Yeah,
and then
he's got that in his head. He's like, he's excited.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
When they're walking,
I've been waiting
back
2 hours
stairs,
for this.
Since we last think about it.
When they're walking back up the stairs, she's like, by the way, I'm 6 months pregnant. He whips round, he pushes her, and she falls down the stairs, and he's like, I don't want it. And then she's still alive, so he slits her throat, and then he's like, fuck, what do I have on me? Puts the bottle there, and he has some newspaper.
Was he going to read the newspaper after he fucked her? He's just like,
because you can say what you like about William Gardner, but he kept up with the news.
Vote Labour.
Oh, I like that theory. Look at the facts, vote Labour.
Oh, yeah. I like that theory. They just went, what? He just went, by the way, I'm 6 foot pregnant. What?
And
he just,
you fucking what?
He just shoved her down the stairs. Yeah.
That's a proper EastEnders That's a proper EastEnders
There's
moment.
One of these things. That maybe you're right. Maybe
I'd see that in the show, just like, what? And then you'd just be like,
think of how many people have fallen downstairs. Tiffany.
Here's
Alfie on Boxing Day.
On Boxing Day, after the Christmas special.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Christmas special was exciting.
This is
going to
be
day.
The best Christmas Walford's ever had.
Push Alfie Moon downstairs. You never loved me.
When
I didn't.
When they found out that she was 6 months pregnant, they also then discovered that she had actually, in desperation, tried to induce an abortion.
Oh, no. With paraffin.
And it hadn't worked.
I shouldn't be laughing. But Jesus.
Yeah, don't laugh at that.
But it hadn't worked. But also she realised that she wouldn't be able to keep her condition a secret for very much longer.
No.
But also she then, for some reason, couldn't marry the father of the baby, which then made everybody think, oh, it must be Gardner then, because he's already married.
Yeah, right.
And so maybe Poppy's right, and she was like, I can't hide this any longer, and she told him, like, I'm pregnant.
And then
he panicked, and maybe.
Yeah.
Something about, like, the fact that obviously it's meant to look like
an accident.
An accident, and was obviously not, screams panic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because that's the one thing that made no sense to me. It was like, why make it look like an accident? And then also, it slashed her throat.
It's someone's panicked.
In previous cases here where we've been like, where something has happened and we've gone, why the fuck did you, what have you done? I think the wife is involved somehow. I think she is.
I definitely think that he probably confessed to the wife.
I think he did.
And
she
covered
went,
for him.
You've got to deal with this.
Yeah.
So I think he confessed. She went, right, okay, then go see her tonight and deal with it. However you deal with it, just
don't
do it. Just get
no
it
one.
Done. And I'll cover for you.
Yeah.
So he does it, and then he comes back and she goes, fuck, you push her down the stairs. We'll make it look like a fucking accident, and didn't tell him what to do.
He went back
and he went, and just stabbed her a bunch of times.
Let's follow that train of thought. Yeah. What if he went back to his wife, he's like, I'll push her down the stairs, and she was like, okay, but like, are you sure she's dead?
Yeah.
And he's like, actually, no. So he goes back.
He goes back. And then slits her throat.
And then he realises, oh, no, she's still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuts her throat, stabs her. And then he goes back.
And she's like, oh, is she dead? Yeah, no, it's just her throat. But now they're going to know she was murdered. So he has to go back again.
Oh. Right,
so get rid of the body. Okay, I'll burn it. And he starts burning it. He's like, I can't do this.
Take this newspaper, otherwise it won't catch.
No, we all know the Christians never read the news. They weren't very politically savvy.
So yes,
I love the idea that he keeps going back to the wife.
Back to the wife, and she's like,
the wife's like, okay, but now they're going to think this. Oh, fine, I'll go back. And luckily, look, everyone's sheltering from the storm, so he can just keep tracing.
He can just keep going back and forth.
And the best twist is the guy that drew the footprints was bang on. He was like, well, the footprints looked exactly like this, and I know for a fact because I've got a photographic memory.
Maybe William Gardner, we're like laughing at him because his footprint pictures didn't look very good, but maybe like William wore like curly toed winkle picker boots. Like, so there's specific. Only one man in Pisenall who wears boots like this. Flapping William Gardner. William's like, oh dear, my boots. Oh. Yeah, but I've seen me showing them off down the Pisenall tavern.
I want to go to that tavern.
Hey, those boots are crazy.
It does feel,
they're crazy as hell.
It does feel like an order at a chip shop, isn't it? Oh, can I have a large portion of chips, please? Pisenall?
Yeah. Oh, Chris. So, you're wasted on
Suze's
podcast. Yeah?
Let's hear your
okay.
The butler did it. All right.
All right. Bless you. Chris,
I was trying really hard not to.
Chris sneezed out of excitement. Okay, but the butler, he sounds like this when he talks. But when he sings, he sounds like this. I'm the butler for the crisps, and I saw it all. I know who committed Rose Harson's murder in Pison Hall. Oh my God. The butler isn't a cracking singer.
He's a cracking singer.
Sounds like he spent an 11 and a half grand at drama school 10 years ago. He's come a long way. Rose was dirty and pregnant, and she loved poems so sexy and rude. Poems by Davis were naughty. Sometimes he speaks when he sings. But the judge dismissed him for being so crude. This town was a gossipy place, full of sinners slagging Rose off in the eye of the storm. Never forget there was a storm.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Thank you for not forgetting. Smashed bottles and strategic slices in her flesh. Her baby never got to be born. That's very sad. That's very sad. I saw what happened to Rose, who loved dirty poems and rough alcohol. This is quite short, this song. It's almost as if the butler, when writing this song, concentrated a little too much on drinking. Rose fell whilst drinking paraffin. It was a drinking game
Oh my God.
So good.
What? Thank you.
Hearing. Fantastic. Pop, anything you got coming up? We don't know when it's going to be released, but like, tell us about your podcast. Yeah, tell us about your show.
Yeah. You can listen to Gossip Mongers on Acast or iTunes.
Or Spotify?
Or Spotify.
Yeah.
I went in professionally then, and then I've completely forgotten anything. That, or you can watch my stupid animated shit.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Good.
Follow you on Twitter for all your dick pics.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter for my hashtag.
At Poppy Hillstead?
Yeah, at Poppy Hillstead, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's your podcast? At Gossip Mongers?
At Gossip Mongers 1. I think.
Oh, dear. You know when I asked Poppy if she'd come on, and she was like, "Oh yes, please. I'll just check with the guys."
I know my daddies.
And then they played. Then they played a real cruel trick on us.
Yeah, they were nasty.
Were they?
Yeah.
Who was really worse? Funny. Yeah. Who was the worst?
Well, David Earl told Joe Wilkinson to pretend that. I wasn't allowed on because.
And if anyone's going to tell you not allowed on, Joe, you would believe more. You'd be like,
I didn't believe David. He's like, look, we've got a brand and you don't want to be.
Oh, that's so funny.
But,
you know,
but Joe.
Spreading yourself to. And then Joe joined in, and then I was like, oh, God.
Do you think Joe would come on ours?
Oh yeah,
and
maybe.
David. Do
you think ask him.
I reckon I could text Joe. I mean, it's been a while. I text him once.
Do you worry that he'll
forget
upset
me?
Him?
I'd upset him. I don't know which one is.
Have you upset him in the past? I want to know.
No, never. We've never met, but I'm quite annoying.
I was in a cafe.
Ask my ex-boyfriend.
I was in a cafe, and I overheard somebody saying, "Do you know who my weird celebrity crush is?"
Oh, is it me?
And they went, the person they went, "Who?" And they went, Joe Wilkinson. So I went, oh, okay. So I texted him. I went, Joe, I've just heard somebody in my cafe say,
you're their
celebrity crush. And he went, where are you? I'll be there in 5 minutes.
I mean, if you want to speak to us, you can.
Yes.
Mystery on the Rocks, ROX.
On Twitter.
On Twitter and Instagram.
Or
Facebook and email is spelled correctly.
Facebook and email, CKS, because they don't have a character limit. Yeah. It's the government trying to mess with your mind.
MysteryOnTheRocks@gmail.com. If you're just angry,
yeah,
and you want to just say something, you're
why are we trying to get people to?
I don't know. We've had some feedback. Right. I tweeted about her. Sometimes I get podcast behaviour remorse.
Oh yes, I heard. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this? Right, and someone replied
amazing.
To me. Hey, when you're good, you're great. But sometimes you're a bit much.
And he hadn't even listened to this episode.
We all live and
you're a bit much,
we all live and learn.
Right.
Oh,
that's
God.
It.
Let's all go Caminos now.
Let's. Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Lovely bread.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.